guys, this is Alicia with Crime Squared, and this is episode number 23, Calaveras, and what is now referred to as Operation Miranda. I hope you guys enjoy it. Hey guys, this is Alicia.
And Katie.
And this is, oh my gosh, I don't know what episode this is.
23.
Of Crime Squared. Okay. Oh my gosh, how exciting. I know every week I'm going to be all sorts to confuse as to which episode it is.
Yeah, I never know anymore unless I actually did notes on it. And I didn't this week, so.
Oh man. As much as I love recording and being busy with the podcast, it has been nice to take a little bit of break so we can hang out with our families on the off week.
Yes, I agree. We've just had so much going on that I think doing every week would be impossible right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And even then, you know, one of us doing a story for right now. I mean, I know we said we were going to do one week, off a week, and then me, and then off a week, and then we'd both go. But man, yeah. It's a lot of work. I mean, when people start a podcast, I don't think they normally have little children because that makes it almost impossible, especially when you're a nursing mama.
Yes, and trying to put them down at night and find time to record and having a full-time job. And
yes.
I know you're doing house renovations. We're doing house renovations.
And the time difference. Oh my gosh. I think that's probably what kills me the most because I'm always like, hey, this time will work for me. Like, I have all of these different options. And you're like, that's my bedtime or something else. I'm like, damn it. So close.
Yeah. It was nice when you were on my time zone for a little while. Then we didn't have to worry about it. Yeah.
I miss South Carolina so much. So much. And I'm getting extra salty about it lately because the whole up until we moved out there, we were both getting a lot of phone calls about jobs. And then, I mean, we interviewed and stuff, and then they were like, oh, we'll call you back. And I mean, a lot of them did call us back, but after we moved back here, I'm like, when people said that the East Coast is real chill about things, like that to me, that's just super unprofessional. Maybe that's because I grew up in the Midwest. I mean, if you're interested in hiring somebody, you generally want someone to take that position within like the next month, not 2, 3, or 4 months later. Like I got a call the other day that was like $21 an hour and it was like 30 hours a week. And it had like full paid benefits and blah, 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 blah. And I applied for that job like last August. Are you freaking kidding me?
That's insane.
And I'm still getting calls like that. I'm like, you know, I wish that I would have gotten these calls when we were out there because we would have been set. And people are like, you should have been more patient. No, we have kids to worry about. It's not about being patient like that.
Most people don't have 6 months worth of savings to just fall back on. Like, that's a lot.
Yep. I was not a fan of that.
No, I can imagine why.
And obviously, neither was Jesse.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys are hating it right now with the cold weather.
I have cried every time it snowed so far.
Yeah, I didn't love it when we were out there.
It's pretty to look at, but that's really about it.
Yeah, at least if it's cold and there's snow, there's something to look at. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's just cold and windy and icy. Crappy. Yeah, it's just miserable.
There was one day last week that I didn't even know it was supposed to snow, but it was like a super heavy flurry. Like it was really thick, fluffy snow. It looked beautiful, but I didn't know it was supposed to snow. And my coworker came in and she was like, isn't that pretty to look at? And I was like, oh, geez, thanks. And then I turn around and look out my window and no, she was not talking to me. And instantly I threw my papers down. I yanked off my mask and I'm like, this is some BS, you guys. Like, oh. And then I cried and she's like, I'm going to give you a couple minutes and come back with my question just in case it makes you more mad. Like, oh, it's probably a good idea. Oh, it's been rough, but it's been nice to be with the kids. I'm sure Jordan will enjoy all that kind of weather with his dad, and it'll be great. It'll be fine. It's fine.
Apparently, Lakin is going to snuggle on me for a little bit.
That's all right.
I got one baby to bed, but not two.
I started to get Jordan down, and then when you texted me, my Fitbit buzzed, and it woke him up. So I was like, all right, I can take you to go get your sister. So I'm sure he'll fall asleep in the car. He's finally been sleeping more in his crib at night, so that makes me super happy.
Oh, that's good.
He'll nap in his crib during the day for like 2, maybe 3 hours sometimes. But at night, he was up like every 30 to an hour. I mean, knock on some wood. But so far, every night this week, he goes down at 8:15, 8:30. And then he'll wake up maybe like 10:15. And I'll nurse him for like 2 minutes. And he's out until 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I'm lazy to bring him to bed. But it's been really nice to at least lay down without him in between us.
Yeah, that would get really annoying. We did that with Lakin, and he woke up like every 2 to 3 hours during the night. And we made it a point with Lainey to not do that, even in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she laid on us a little bit to sleep, but we mostly put her in her crib to sleep.
Yeah.
And now she sleeps in her crib. I put her down about 7:30, 7:45. And she sleeps until 2, 3 o'clock.
Dang, that's pretty good.
Yeah, she gets up and eats once, and then she stays asleep until between 6 and 7.
Heck yeah. Jordan was doing really good about that when we were in South Carolina. I mean, I think he started sleeping in his crib like right before we moved out there. And I mean, he was starting to do really good. I think we'd lay him down at like 8:30 or 9, and then he'd be out until about 6:30 when we'd have to take Nana to the bus stop. And it was great, except for it really freaked me out in the beginning because he was such a tummy sleeper.
Oh.
Which Nana was a tummy sleeper, but she slept with me in our little twin size bed at my mom's.
Yeah, that would be tough.
Yeah. But okay. Anywho, let's get started. So this week, my story is about two gentlemen named Leonard Lake, and hopefully somebody corrects me if I'm wrong. I tried really hard to figure out how to pronounce this name. Charles Ng, I think it is. It's NG. It's a Chinese name. So we have
NG?
Yep.
Huh. I've never seen that.
It's very common for Chinese names, I think, for Asian names, but I don't know how to pronounce a lot of them. And it was really weird that his first name was Charles. I'm sure he had like a true Asian name, true Chinese name.
So yeah, that's probably like his American name that he adopted.
Let me see.
I had a college roommate who I couldn't pronounce her name. I lived in the like cultural dorm.
Mm-hmm.
So half of them were exchange students, and she chose Winnie.
Winnie, her, like Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, exactly. Because she loved Winnie the Pooh so much. And I was like, really? That out of all the American names?
Well, that, I mean, that's Pooh. A little odd, but to each their own.
Yeah. I was like, that's so weird, but whatever. You do you. Anyway, Charles.
Oh, okay. His name is, okay, I'm going to butcher this too, but Chai Tat or Chi Tat?
It's not Mexican.
No, definitely not Mexican, but that's all I know. Spanish Mexican. You crack me up. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I went through and found out a bunch of information about each one, and then things about them together or combined for their crimes. So Leonard grew up in San Francisco, California, and so it looks like his parents set up when he was really young. He had a rough childhood. He ended up actually moving with his siblings, into his grandparents' house, his mom's parents, and he was a creep very early on. So huge trigger here because he was just a massive POS. I'm sure in my notes I actually say that like very repetitively, along with shake my damn head. Oh my gosh. But super early on, he began taking new photos of his sisters, and he actually became addicted to porn. He
Oh
forced
my.
his, yeah, it gets ugly real fast. He forces his sisters to perform sex acts on him, and when he would take pictures of them, that was kind of him saying, "Well, if you let me take a picture, I won't tell anyone, or if you tell anyone, I'll show these pictures out to people." Like, he was just using them to his advantage and to manipulate them any shape, way, or form. And to make it worse, his grandma actually supported all of these fantasies, all of this, what's a good word here? Just like
This
his,
like fetish.
yes, his fetishes, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, when boys and girls are growing up, you start to be interested in sexual activities. Usually it's not very young, but it happens. It just depends on who you are. But normally your parents and grandparents aren't like, yeah, you should explore that and experiment with your siblings. Like, no, that's not okay.
No, that's no, not at
And I
all.
am 100% okay with people exploring their sexuality and making their fantasies come to life, but in a safe, healthy, and appropriate way.
With
Involving
your
your family
siblings
like
is
that
not
is not,
it.
yes, exactly. And so that really made me nauseous. Just, I mean, it's one thing for your siblings, but it's another for, your grandma to be supporting it. Like, his poor sisters.
That's so weird. Also, how did she find that out in the beginning?
I tried to look up information about his family in general. I couldn't find much about his sisters, but I'm sure they were probably, trying to stay off the radar because that type of shit is very traumatic. But I couldn't even find like why his grandma was okay with that. I mean, let's see how Leonard was born in 1945, and he died at the age of 39. So it's not like he was growing up in
The Stone
like.
Age.
Yeah, so I mean at that time, I mean, I'm sure everyone knew it's not okay to be with your family like that. But there was at one point it was okay and kind of appropriate to be with like your first and second cousin. Like, you hear stories about all the time of, what is that word?
Incest.
Yes, incest. Thank you. So, I mean, to me, it's not okay no matter what. But the fact that his grandma was completely okay with it and was like pushing him to explore those thoughts he was having is not okay.
Yeah, that makes it really weird. Like, did she marry her cousin or brother or something?
Yeah, it was not fun to read that. But it didn't end there. He wasn't just creepy with sexual acts. He also liked to do some type of Breaking Bad shit. He would enjoy dissolving mice in different types of chemicals.
Ew.
And later on, he also did that to some human bodies.
He definitely had something fall out of his brain. He's missing a few marbles there.
Oh, yeah.
Good
So,
Lord.
we'll get into that a little bit more here. I enjoyed that little part just because I loved the show Breaking Bad. I don't know if you've ever
I've
seen
never
it.
watched it, no.
What? Oh my gosh. Well, a huge spoiler alert then. There's a
I'm
few
sure if I
scenes.
went back to watch it, I wouldn't remember.
Maybe. I mean, they do that quite a bit in that show towards the middle seasons. It's a great show, but definitely some fucked up shit goes on, especially when, like, how do you even know that you can dissolve a body in a chemical? Like, I wouldn't have known that. And what chemicals do you use? Is there like a certain ratio you need to do, or just literally dip a body in acid, Like, maybe my mind just doesn't work that way, but I don't want it to. Like, I don't want to know that kind of stuff. But I'm not a
I
killer,
only know it
so.
from being obsessed with true crime.
Yeah.
But not like what to do. I just know that you can do it.
And that's a very big difference. Like, I feel like when we tell people that we have a true crime podcast, they're like, oh, y'all look like a special kind of special, huh?
Right. And it's like, come on, like half of our generation is into true crime, if not more. Like, chill,
Yes,
it's fine.
exactly. Okay, so He actually joined the Marines two, let's see, a year or so after high school. I was surprised that he even finished high school with half of the shit that he had done already at this point in his life. But he actually served two tours, but during his first tour, he really got to know a lot of his, what do you call them, fellow colleagues, fellow Marine buddies. I
Yeah,
don't
I
know what
can't
the
think of the
word is.
word right now either. Comrades?
I mean, I know I cannot say that word, so I'm not even gonna try. But yes, we'll go with that. But during his second tour, a lot of red flags were starting to arise with little things like, collecting more mice and stealing and really enjoying ammo more than just to shoot the bad guys. And he was actually diagnosed with a personality disorder. He
Well,
had a couple,
finally.
yeah. I'm sure he had had them before, but everybody kind of just brushed it off as, he grew up in a broken home and he probably bounced around from school to school. Or, a lot of people, when they
Yeah.
start having mental breakdowns, they always like brush it off and say it's like blame it on something else instead of actually addressing whatever the hell is going on.
Right, instead of just saying it is what it is.
Yeah, which is very unfortunate because mental health is very serious. And I mean, you can have mental breakdowns and be healthy as a horse, but like chances are they're gonna keep happening until you get some help. Talk to someone.
Address the situation.
Yeah, just because you have a mental disorder, I feel like we've said this before. Just because you have a mental disorder does not mean you can go out and do fucked up things and kill people. That's not okay.
Calm down, eat a moon pie, quit killing people.
Yes. Okay, so he had a breakdown and was finally actually medically discharged from the service. And funny enough, after he was discharged, he decided he'd become a hippie.
What?
So all of a sudden he was real green friendly. And he decided he wanted to move to a commune in San Francisco. And he was married for a little bit. And he decided he wanted to join to start college. So he went to college for like really, I think it was maybe a semester, if that. While he was living in the commune, and he dropped out of college after one semester, his wife kind of started noticing some other red flags, like he was really enjoying some bondage type of porn. And I'm gonna butcher this word as well. I'm gonna text it to you and see if you can figure out how to pronounce it. Do you know what that is? It is giving and receiving of pleasure from acts involving the receipt or infliction of pain or humiliation, usually seeking sexual pleasure from it.
So, like a dom sub
Yes.
relationship,
Like
kind of.
BDSM. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is completely A-okay. But when the receiving party or any parties involved are all on the same page and are all willing, you cannot hold people hostage and say, oh, yes, we do BDSM together. No. You do BDSM, and that's not okay.
Yeah, it has to be consenting on all parties.
Yes, literally the moment someone says the code word or says no or stop, you just need to fucking stop. So his wife noticed that he was into making these types of porn and also appearing in them.
That's a little weird.
Well, since he was a hippie, he had multiple sexual partners, and his wife also had multiple sexual partners. But he was not okay. She was not okay with him making these videos with these other partners and her not being involved or being even aware of it. Which, I mean, as a wife, I can relate. If I found out my husband was doing that, we'd be having a serious conversation.
Yeah. Especially if you're not into polyamory.
Yeah, I mean, you need to have that discussion. There are people that are, and that's A-okay. But you need to talk about it. You can't just decide that on your own once you're married. That's not how
Yeah.
that works. But his second wife was very okay with these fetishes of his and pushed him to continue them and to explore more. And occasionally she would also star in these movies with him or come up with ideas for more while he was in the Marines for theft.
Pretending to be somebody else. Identity theft.
Identity. Well, later on that happens, but not this time. So he was arrested for theft, but he took off. I want to say he did a little bit of time, but then he escaped custody and he took off to California in 1983. And that is where he met Leonard. So these two met, and I think they actually met because they were both involved with a, I don't want to say the exact same theft incident, but they both knew what the other one was doing and then were like, hey, we have something in common. And then all of these light bulbs are, you know, popping up and they found out they had a lot of things in common. So I think at one point they were both in the Marines at the same time, but not in the same
platoon.
Platoon. There we go. But Charles, so Leonard was medically discharged because he had that mental breakdown after he was diagnosed with personality disorder. And Charles was dishonorably discharged, obviously due to theft. And he actually deserted his team a couple of times while they were out, like, on a mission.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's like a huge no-no. So he was dishonorably discharged, and since he had fled from custody, he was kind of wanted for a while. So they were both involved with identity theft after that because, they were stealing all kinds of things. And so every time that they stole, it happened to be a wallet, and then they'd keep that identification card, and then they would continue to use it and, you know, kind of rotate around in them.
They're so asking to be caught.
Oh, yeah. And it gets better. By better, I mean worse. So where Leonard and his wife, Cricket, lived, he had actually built a little type of a dungeon. It was more like a bunker out of cinder blocks.
Okay. So like a doomsday prepper.
Yep. Except for it was extremely tiny and it had a mirrored wall. And I mean, it was so tiny, it didn't even have a bathroom in it. And it had a fake wall with a bucket and some toilet paper that they used as a bathroom.
Ew.
And in this dungeon bunker is where they tortured and brought all of their kidnapped victims and raped their victims.
Oh.
Yes. So these two became serial killers, serial rapists, severe abductors, thieves, and just real true pieces of shit. Emphasis on
my stomach hurt.
The shit. You're welcome. I mean, it's been a while since I've really told one like this, so I figured I'd kick it up a notch for everyone.
Well, at least there's no cannibalism yet.
Hey, there's no cannibalism in this one.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
So they had actually read a book, well, they obviously separately, called The Collector Novel. I don't know if you've ever heard of that one.
Mm-mm.
They, in that book, the author talks about kind of a doomsday happening and how he needs to kidnap a female and then ends up kidnapping multiple females in hopes of continuing to procreate for the world in case some natural massive disaster happens. I don't know why these people think that so much shit's going to go down that they need to hold people hostage in order to procreate.
Yeah, but that's weird. I mean, let's be honest. People are fucking every day. Like, that's not an issue.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And I feel like people are aware that something like that could happen. And there's already plenty of people in the world. And I know that people have bunkers. Like, I mean, I'm sure that people aren't like, hey, come look in my little bunker and see all of the stuff that I have just in case shit goes down. But I'm sure people are informed about it. Yeah.
We're overpopulated as it is.
So at some point, some shit's going to happen. But to the point that you need to kidnap people, I don't think so.
No, not at all.
just a little extreme if you ask me, but I mean, I'm not a professional or anything, so don't ask me.
If you have not found someone to procreate with you on their own terms, you need to look at yourself. There's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
Don't kidnapping people and be like, hey, we're going to procreate whether you want to or not. No. That's
it's
wrong.
Funny that you say that like that, because they actually, on their fancy, fancy typewriter at their local convenience that they were able to utilize, they typed up some rules for their victims.
Oh, no.
So I have a picture of this in my notes. One of them says, I must always be ready to service my master. I must be clean, brushed, and made up with myself very neat. And there was another one that said, I must never show my disrespect, either verbally or silent. I must never cross my arms or legs in front of my body or clench my fists. And unless eating, must always keep my mouth shut, I think is what that says. I think it's kind of hard. This is what they refer to as Operation Miranda. And that comes from that novel. And so anytime you look up Operation Miranda, these two will pop up.
I would last all of 5 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, so they told their victims that if they, you know, just behaved or did whatever they were telling them to do, that they'd be able to go see their family and be reunited and whatever. But I mean, if they are trying to procreate, don't you think you'd want, like, willing people?
I mean, not if they're into BDSM.
I mean, I guess so, but I mean, there's people that are into BDSM in a non-creepy way.
Yeah, you can be into it in a mutual understanding and enjoyment of it, but it sounds like they wanted to have some pushback.
Yeah, they definitely wanted to be able to control all of these victims. But yeah. So in the victims that they had, they always killed the non-females quickly. Because
the
they had no use for
females, so the males.
Well, I mean, they had a couple that identified as some other titles. I just don't know what they were.
Oh, okay.
And I don't want to push any buttons on that.
gotcha.
Let me see here. So my favorite part about all this, that's fucked up. The place where this happened in California is called Calaveras County. And Calaveras literally means skulls.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so I was like, that's pretty neat that there's a county called Skulls and it's in Spanish. I mean, I think it's in like Southern California, but I've never heard of it before. And I guess that there's a river that is really close to that too. And I guess it's really scenic, but that would make a lot of sense as to why he built a bunker in that area. I mean, if he generally was concerned about a nuclear Holocaust happening, I mean, he picked a pretty decent location for building this bunker in case they would have needed it. He just decided to use it for really fucked up reasons. In fucked up ways. Yeah. So that they have admitted to. Do you want to guess how many victims?
47.
I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking. My guess was 50, but they only admitted to 25. And that story even fluctuated.
Probably 50.
Well, I mean, yes, I think that was probably more than 50. But the first victim was Leonard's brother, Donald. No one knows how old he was, but I think his brother, Donald, was older than him. Charles Gunner was 36. They actually also kidnapped neighbors. Lonnie was 27 and his girlfriend was 19 and their son Lonnie Jr. was 2. So Brenda was kept hostage there and was raped and tortured numerous times. Some of these victims' bodies were found, I don't want to say intact, but in a way that they were able to be identified. If that's how you want to take that.
Yeah.
A lot of them were unable to be identified. And they actually
Oh.
drew lots of pictures and kept multiple diaries, talking about their victims. And they filmed a lot of the torture that they did and a lot of the raping and films that they created. I mean, they took pictures. They had two like burn buckets that every once in a while they would just put a bunch of like gasoline in and burn evidence, basically. But they didn't do
Wow.
it often. So when they were actually arrested and when their property was searched, a lot of this is how they were able to identify the victims that they did. There was also Harvey, that was 29, and his girlfriend Deborah, that was 33, and their son Sean, he was one. And from what I read, Lonnie Jr. and Sean were the only two children that were victims of theirs and that were that young. Like I said, all of the men and most of the kids died instantly. The women were obviously kept around a little bit longer. Let's see. They had Randy Johnson was 34, Michael Carroll, that was 23, Kathleen Allen was 18, and Robin Stapley was 26. And I'm pretty sure there was actually a video of Leonard harassing Lonnie, one of his neighbors, like on film. Like his girlfriend Brenda had warned him multiple times to leave him alone and that they were paying their rent and they had no reason to be bothered in that area of town. I mean, it was a really small community where they lived. It was kind of like out in the country type of thing. The closest actual town that had close neighbors was like 500 people, and it was like maybe 30 miles away. So
Oh my God.
when you're out in the country, you don't just wander off to your neighbors just to say hi when they're like an acre or two away, you know?
Or more, it sounds like.
So Lonnie and Leonard had been into it multiple times. So when they all went missing, obviously Leonard was pretty suspicious from the get-go.
Yeah, how could you not be?
And I'm sure that that wasn't the only neighbor that was like that, because there were a couple other neighbors that had gone missing and their families had reported them missing, and they were missing for years. And you'd think that as a landlord, if you're not getting rent from your tenants, you'd be like, hey, if you're not paying, you got to move out. But their landlord never went to check on the property or get any rent. So, I mean, they'd walk into the house and it was kind of like no one ever left because there was no struggle or anything. But I mean, you could obviously tell no one had been home in a long time. So when the families reported them missing, but the landlords didn't care or say anything about the fact that they haven't been receiving rent, that was really fishy to me. So I tried to see if
Yeah,
the landlords
that
were involved at all with these two. Yeah, I couldn't find anything about the landlords being involved in any of this, but I couldn't really find any names on much of that. It's definitely not publicity that you want for your rental properties, especially in the 1980s.
for
I mean,
sure.
not that that's good ever, but I mean, in 1980s, everything was spreading by word of mouth, whereas now everything's on social media, like instantly, as soon as it happens.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants numbers like that.
Not at all.
Not a girl from the
So,
90s.
yeah, me too.
My stupidity is not documented every 5 seconds.
I mean, it's funny even now when I look back at my Facebook statuses that I posted, in 2010, I'm like, oh my gosh, I was an
I
idiot.
know.
I'm like, delete this memory, delete this
I've read some
memory.
of the. I was fucking stupid. Why did
Yep. Or I was extremely lazy. I don't think half of my,
really lazy.
no, my post literally, like, I hardly ever said an actual word. It was always like TTYL or BRB, like, who, why would, if I saw that right now on Facebook, I'd be like, I would seriously comment and be like, you need to write more, write out to your words.
Extra 3 seconds. Because your entire job is going to be emailed out.
Yes, and I mean, even back then, it was just you had to click, on the flip phones.
Oh
Oh
my
my
God. Nobody knows what we're talking about.
No,
Who
oh
didn't
my
grow
gosh. So
up in that time?
a little off topic here, but my in-laws were awesome and gave us their big couch that they had in their house, and we have it in the basement. And it's so comfy and so broken. It's literally the best like lounging couch. Well, it has that center console that when you flip it down, it has like cup holders, and then it has a phone. And Ariana goes,
Oh,
"Oh, this
what?
is so cool. What is this?" And Jesse and I look at her and we're like, "It's a phone." Like, I grew up in a Mexican household, and even I know that it's a couch that has a phone in it. I mean, not that everybody had those, but you know what a phone is when it has the cord connected to it and it has numbers on it for you to
Right.
dial. She was like, "How did you know how to dial people's numbers?" And Jesse goes, "Because you memorize them." So then Jesse and I sat there and we're talking about all the numbers that we still have memorized from when we were growing up and how to call our friends.
Oh my God, yeah, I could not recite a number to you today. Write somebody's number, but back then, knew everybody's number by heart.
Right? And like now people, if they did not have their actual smartphone on them, they would be so lost. Like I had
Oh,
a
for
when
sure.
Ariana was she was in first or second grade, I think. I started writing my phone number on the inside of her jacket in case she lost it, because you know, kids lose stuff all the freaking time. And she was like, "Well, how are people gonna be able to call you if they don't have a phone?" And I'm like, "Well, if your phone is if my phone number is written on the inside of the jacket and somebody finds your jacket, chances are they're gonna be around the phone at some point and they can call me." She's like, "But how are they gonna know your number?" Because it's on your jacket. They don't need to have it programmed in their phone. And she was like,
You can dial
"I
it.
it." Oh my gosh. I mean, thankfully she's a little smarter now, but I mean, even when we gave her a flip phone to be able to use as like her emergency phone, she was like, "How do I text? Like, how do I dial a number?" And we were like, "You know, you're gonna have to figure it out. If you want to use the phone, you figure it out. No one taught us how to use a phone." Oh man, to be a kid, the
Right,
world's so
no
lazy now.
responsibilities.
All right, so back on topic here. So as they were killing some families and all of the men, as they were killing the men, they would also keep their personal belongings. Sometimes they would sell jewelry that they had on them, like wedding rings or a nice watch. Sometimes they would sell jewelry from the women as well. But they always kept the IDs from the men. And so when they would go buy cigarettes or alcohol or anything and they would get carded, they would use the stolen ID that they had. Until one time, one of them got caught because he was trying to steal, of course. And so he's like, "Oh, I wasn't stealing it. I was just gonna go get my money from my car," and then took off. And that was Charles. So then Leonard came and was like, "Oh, I'll just buy whatever he was, you know, trying to take. I'm sorry about it." And showed them his ID. And the clerk at the store was like, "This doesn't look like you," and called the authorities.
It seems like a fake.
Yes. I'm like, to me, I mean, even when people get fake IDs, they get them with their picture and everything else on the ID is bogus, you know? Like, or at least have a picture that closely resembles you. Otherwise, you're gonna have all types of red flags. Like, people are not stupid. Okay, so when they were arrested for Charles trying to steal and the men are trying to fix it, it kind of seemed as I was reading some of these, it was like Leonard was playing daddy role because he would always try and clean up after Charles's mistakes. Like, stop
Oh,
stealing.
geez.
You guys are doing so many other crimes already. We're gonna get caught. And out of all of the fucked up shit that they did, they were brought down and arrested because of theft. Like, what?
Oh, my God.
You'd think that somebody would have ID'd them and been like, "They were the last person to see so and so. You should ask them." Like, that never happened. They got brought down because they got caught shoplifting.
Out of 20 some people, they weren't
Yeah.
like, oh, I saw them at the diner or at the grocery
And
store with them.
that's exactly what I was waiting for every time I read anything about these two guys. But so at one of the places where Charles was working, where he was also suspected of a lot of theft, they had actually found some illegal weapons such as a silencer in his car, and it wasn't even hidden. It was sitting on the floorboard of the passenger seat. So it was just laying there. I mean, if I have anything
Trying to
that,
hide their crimes.
no, if I am going to try and have anything illegal in my vehicle, I'm going to be hiding that shit. I'm not going to just leave it
Right.
like for somebody to just look in the car and be like, that's not okay. But
Is
then
that
they also had,
normal?
a bunch of other crap that they shouldn't have had. And I mean, they had numerous IDs, and they even had some of those just laying out. If I walk by a car and I see that there's 10, if there's more than three IDs in the car, in a small car, I'm going to be questioning what is going on.
Who
So
is it?
there's no reason for that many IDs to be in a vehicle in plain sight
No,
like that.
not
Like
at
that's
all.
sketchy as hell. But let's see. Okay, so they were arrested in June of 1985, and after some days of interrogation, Leonard asked for a piece of paper and a glass of water. Did I say that was 4 days later? Because it was 4 days after they were arrested. He kept kind of giving them the runaround, and then finally was like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I did that one. And I did this one like this, and this is why we did some of these. And then all of his bunker dungeon and his home with Cricket and all of their property, like everything was searched. And the investigators found so much evidence and so much crap. There's no way that Leonard would have gotten away with any of it. And he must have known that because he actually carried around a cyanide pill. And he had it somewhere like sewn into his shirt, so he was always able to access it. And so after he asked for this glass of water and a journal, everyone thought that he was going to write down and admit to everything and have it all in writing. And what he actually ended up writing was just a note for his wife, Cricket, and some of his family that he loved them and was sorry for the hassle, basically. Then he swallowed this cyanide pill and died.
True.
Yeah. Obviously he was involved. I mean, there's no way you just sat and watched all of this shit go down. But I mean, if you're trying to say you weren't involved and then you draw something like that, I feel like some questions would start to arise. But
Yeah,
they were
absolutely.
the librarian at the jail facility he was at said that he was a great person and he didn't do any harm while he was in jail, and that there were many guards and other people that said he was just a model inmate. Well, after you've done so much fucked up shit and you know you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail, probably. I mean, yeah,
Probably
everyone's
toe the
going to think you're.
line, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds just like something he would do. In the end, he was found guilty. I think he was facing up to 12 counts, and for some reason, they were able to knock it down to six. So he was
Good
found guilty
Lord.
of, yeah, 6 counts of murder, and he was actually sentenced to death in May of 1999. But he is still sitting on death row in San Quentin State Pen. When deputies arrested these two and were searching all of their property and belongings, after they discovered the dungeon, they kind of walked around in their property further back more and found that they had actually also made their own little cemetery.
Oh my God.
Except for normally, when you think of a cemetery, you think of, proper burial sites,
Yeah.
like where they had individual people. They just had a massive, and I mean massive, burn pit. So they found 40 to 50 pounds of body parts that were burned on the property.
Wow, like the bones. So 40 to 50 pounds of just bones.
I mean, and
That's
obviously, some of the bodies didn't get. Oh, this sounds really, really harsh. Some of the bodies weren't completely burned, which is how they were able to identify some of the people. Kind of basing that from what was left to pictures and diaries and IDs and clothing and hair and other things that they found. They were able to kind of put pieces together. Along with, obviously all of the reports of missing people. So that's how they were able
that.
to contact people,
I'm
the
still stuck on
families
that
and victims.
40, 50 pounds of bones.
Yeah.
Because if we, I mean, On average, I'm curious how many pounds of bones a human body has individually.
Yeah, I did not want to be the one to look that up. I'm
I
into true
will.
crime, but sometimes some of that stuff just gets a little too, I don't want to say close to home, but a little gnarly for my liking.
I'm curious. So, a 100-pound person would have approximately 15 pounds of bones.
Damn. So, and that's not that much.
So, no, that's only a couple people's worth.
Yeah, that. And I mean, they, from all the articles that I read, no one would actually specify how big the property was. Everything just kept saying that it was a massive burial, like burn pit. A lot of places, a lot of websites referred to it as their body pit.
So, if they had a burn pit, that means that that's just what was left over. They had to actually
At
get
that
that
time.
burn pit so hot that it actually disintegrated the bones.
Yeah. Especially if, I mean, from some other articles that I read, when they had, when they were able to identify some people, like I really mean it was like some parts of their body. It wasn't like there's a head over here and an arm over here and a leg over here. Like it was literally minimal features, minimal parts to be able to put it together.
So it wasn't a full skeleton.
Correct. Like that's some tough shit. No matter what day and age we're in, like that's hard to swallow. So, do you think that there were really only 25 victims?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, me either.
There's no way. Especially, I mean, if they had, as they say, a massive burn pit, there's no way to know how many they really had, and given what they were into.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know when they started using really serious DNA technology to be able to test hair and like fingernails and fingerprints and DNA, like just any type of DNA. I don't know when that really was starting to be
Come into play.
acceptable in court. And yeah, so I wonder if a lot of,
I
I
think it
wonder if
was
they're
like the
ever going
late
to,
90s.
I wonder if they would ever try and do some more digging on this, because I'm sure that they, especially because they both traveled a little bit. And I mean, even just Charles, he was in Canada for a little bit. So did he kill anyone up there? Did he have any of his own adventures like that prior to meeting Leonard?
Possibly.
I wonder if they've done this in other places, especially if his wife, if Leonard's wife Cricket was involved with some of it. It's just hard for me to imagine that it was only in one location, you know?
Yeah, they probably traveled.
Yeah, that's
But
kind of
then
what I thought too.
how would they get the bodies back to the burn pit, or how would they get rid of them? My God, my
Probably in
dog.
all of the cars that they had stolen from their victims. I mean, they were driving around in one of their cars and then had ID that was associated to somebody else. So I mean, at one point he went into a store and was trying to pay for Charles's shoplifting incident with one ID. The car was licensed, registered to somebody else, and then they had a bunch of other people's belongings in their car as well. So I'm sure that they probably put bodies in their car multiple times.
See, I've seen other cases where even if they've already been sentenced, sometimes they'll go back and link it to them with DNA technology if they're able to, if that DNA was preserved during those cases.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't preserved because they didn't really know what they were doing back then, go back to it. But I would think if, they were still going back on other cases from areas that they traveled to, they would be able to bring them back up in court again and add to their sentences.
I
And
mean,
I
you'd
mean,
hope so.
even if they're on death row, I would still want, like, if it was my family member, I would still want them to be held accountable for it. Even
Heck
if
yeah,
it's,
tack that shit on.
if it's an extra life sentence or an extra 40 years or 20 years, whatever, I want it to count and
Well,
be
and obviously Charles did
brought
not care
up.
at all about serving time because, oh, that's a fun fact. Charles actually served time at Leavenworth Prison in Kansas after he was discharged from the Marines for theft. That's crazy. How did I not see that earlier?
So maybe he did something down there.
Yeah, see, they're just, I mean, and I can't believe that out of all of the crimes that they committed, that he was a good boy in jail the whole time. Like, no way. No way. He had to have gone in some type of altercation, or, I mean, if everyone said that he was such a good citizen there, then what did he do to get you on his good side? What did he promise you? Or what did he threaten
Yeah,
you
I was
with?
gonna say he probably got in good with somebody.
Yeah. There's just no
And they
way
were
that
able
out of all of that fucked up shit that they did, all of a sudden they're good people. I just don't buy it.
to. No, that it's not that easy. No, I don't believe it at all.
Nope. But that's my story. That's Leonard Lake
Ooh.
and Charles Ng. I'm
Mm.
sure I still butcher that name on accident.
Somebody tell us how to say that, because that cannot be exactly how you say that.
I mean, I tried asking Alexa and I tried asking Google, and they both said the same thing, except for Alexa was with a little bit of a Australian accent. So that all mixed with my Spanish accent. I'm kind of SOL here, folks.
Yeah, I'm not the one to ask either.
That's
Not at all. That's crazy.
all we have for you guys.
Keep listening. Like, review, rate, and subscribe.
Let's try and
And
get some action going on our social media.
yes, and if you have a story you want us to cover, or if you know anything about the stories that we have covered that maybe we missed something, let us know. We'll do a corrections corner and a catch-up page.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah. All right, guys. We will see you next time, or talk to you next time. You can't see us.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey guys, be sure to look us up on social media. On Facebook, we are Crime2Podcast, and on Instagram, Crime Squared. Also, please subscribe and review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate all of our listeners.